Micah chapter 4. And it says, "But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow unto it. And many nations shall come and say, Come, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, and to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us his ways, teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among many people, and rebuke strong nations afar off. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. But they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts hath spoken it." You know, we talk a lot about the struggles that we have here on earth. But it is not often that we speak of the great and wonderful things that are coming. And I tell you what, we do have great and wonderful things coming. When we look at the symbolism here, we see that it's not symbolism at all. But what it's talking about, this city that is above the mountains, we understand that to be the New Jerusalem. When we're talking nation, not making war against nation, and some more things that we'll read on through this chapter, we see that this is the time of the millennial reign, where the Lord has established his kingdom here on earth for 1,000 years. And it's talking of a time where we'll be here on earth. There will be peace, there will be joy, and God will be at the heart and center of it all. Every man will listen to God for wisdom. Every man will follow his law. And I'm looking forward to it. Are you looking forward to it? Because it's going to be a wonderful time. We bemoan politics. We bemoan the state of society today. But there's coming a time when we shall have rest. Rest. And we long for that rest. We long for that peace. But that peace will only happen under one condition. Sure, it's July. It's not quite Christmas. But you know what's coming? Peace on earth. Goodwill toward men. Most of the world doesn't understand that song. Peace on earth, goodwill toward man is a prayer that we are praying, asking God to have to put peace and to love us in that way, have goodwill towards each other, right? That is our prayer in that song. But without God on the throne of the land, we will not have peace. It doesn't matter who you put in the White House. It doesn't matter who you put in the leadership seats of all the countries. There will never be the peace we want, because you've always got a sinner on the throne. As long as there is somebody for selfish gain, as long as there's somebody who can be tempted, as long as there's somebody whose integrity can be undermined, there will not be peace on this earth. But when Jesus sits on the throne, When that city comes down, and we can go into the house of God and we can see him face to face, then there will be peace. In order for us to have peace in this time, right, in this time that we're talking about with this millennial reign, what is required is, number one, God's presence. God's presence. Verse 2, "And many nations shall come and say, Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." Hey, I tell you what, wouldn't it be grand if you could go and attend a class taught by God? I kind of made an illustration of that during my devotion. You know, those people, they spend thousands of dollars to sit under a Grant Cardone or somebody like that. Tell me how to live my life. Charge me up for a little bit. Get me excited. But I tell you what, to be able to sit there and have God's instruction taught by God himself, that would be amazing. We have it in the Word, but to have the Word matched with the power of his voice and the glory of his presence, I think that there'd be nothing like it in the world. And all the world will be able to go up and say, "All right, let's go up and hear about what he has to say, and let's talk to him and let's hear him." And I tell you what, it's going to be a wonderful thing. During this time, every kingdom's eyes
will be on God. He will be a very sure thing to everyone in attendance. I'm looking forward to an open throne room. I love my time spent in prayer. We were talking just recently with some folks. One of my favorite hymns on earth is In the Garden. Not because I'm much of a gardener, but it speaks to me in this time that I spend with the Lord. And I tell you what, if that song doesn't speak to you, maybe you should spend some more time with Him. When you do walk with Him, and you do talk with Him. And that time to you is not mandatory. It's not just on the schedule. It's not a mandatory to do. It is something you refuse to live without. I must talk to Him. I love Him. There is not a day that will go by without me talking to Him, spending time in His presence. But I tell you what, as much as I love what we have here on earth with our Heavenly Father, I'm looking forward to walking into His throne room in a more physical way. I'm looking forward to hearing His voice. You know, I tell you what, I got to the point when I was a child where I could pick up my dad's voice in a crowded room. You want to know why? Because there's penalties if you didn't, right? If my dad, if I was sitting there in a room and I could hear my dad come in and I could hear, I knew his footsteps. I knew the sound of his voice. If he came to pick us up at school or when we went to daycare or latchkey, well, I could hear him coming down the hall. I knew that was my dad. He'd be talking to somebody and, okay, all right, there we go. Of course, my dad with his red hair, I could find him anywhere. There's that familiarity. There's that comfort that comes with it. Folks, there's going to be a time where we sit in the throne room of God and He speaks. And He is going to be better than any preacher we've ever heard, more moving than any philosopher we've ever known. And I tell you what, we're going to be hard-pressed to leave that room to hear Him speak. One of the things that we have to look forward to is an eye, just being able to lay our eyes on God. I want an eye full of God, don't you? After everything I've seen here on earth, after all the things I've laid witness to, I want to treat my eyes to something spectacular. I want to look on the face of my God and I want to say thank you. I want to be able to sit there and know that I've done right. We have these competitions that we do with the kids at camp. And there's always this moment when they do something. And they ask a question and they answer it or something like that. My favorite is the sword drills. There's this anticipation of what sword drills are, right? You hold the Bible, you get the verse, you drop it down, you try to turn there as fast as you can. And they'll sit there and the kids will put their finger on it and they'll read out for all the camp to hear. And then they'll sit there and they'll stare at me and wait. What are they waiting for? The same thing I was waiting for when I was a kid. Please tell me I was right. Please, I want you to see me having done the right thing. And I want to be able to do that to my Heavenly Father. I want to be able to sit in His throne room and I want to look at His eyes. And I want to see Him look at me and I want that experience. And you know what? Here in the millennial kingdom and of course in all of heaven, we will have that unfettered access. So often today, the people we need most, we all have schedules, right? And sometimes it can be hard to get together, hard to connect. I saw people in the last week that I haven't seen in a few years. And you know what? It's not because we didn't want to. We always meant to. Do you have people in your life you always mean to get a hold of? But what happens? Time, distance, getting our schedules together. Well, I was at that conference down where you guys were. Well, where'd you go? Oh, man. Well, that conference was going on. We had to go do this. We were on our vacation. It's hard to connect. That's not the way it is with God now. It'll definitely not be the way with God in the future. When I always know where God is, where I cannot just, not only is it a matter of prayer, but I can get up on my feet. I can walk into His throne room. I can see Him and I can know that everything is all right. And again, as I spoke before, we get that teaching. Lord, what do you think we ought to be doing down here for this 1,000 years? Lord, what's your command for me? Hey, Lord, can you explain to me this thing in your word that I always got confused on? Hey, Lord, what do you think about this? And when that happened, what do you think? We're able to sit there and we're able to have those conversations with Him. We get to sit under the greatest tutor that has ever been. And we need that. We need that. I think it'll give to us comfort. I think it'll give us peace. And I think it's going to be a real good time sitting around God's throne.
What we see here also in this in verse 2 and verse 3, we read verse 2, let's go ahead and read verse 3 again. And he shall judge among many people and rebuke strong nations afar off, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. There will no more be megalomaniacs who plunge their countries into depression and economic turmoil for their own satisfaction. There will no longer be these oligarchs. There will no longer be these foreign rulers with bombs and weapons and power to change our lives with a single button. That will be done away with. Amen. And the seat of power on this earth will be God's. Amen. And not that he doesn't have it now. But it will be unescapable. They will be undeniable that it's him. Their ears will be pressed to him. What will we do? What should we do? And I tell you what a wonderful thing. Today we play off wars and things like that, like they're things that the media uses to make money. Are you aware that this thing over there, that the Russia is doing, has never been resolved? It's still going. Can I ask you this? When was the last time you heard anything about that on the news? What do we hear today? If I were to go home and turn on CNN right now, what would be on? January 6th. January 6th. I turned on the news for just a little bit yesterday on my radio just to kind of see, because I've been away for a while, just to see how it's going. And guess what? January 6th still happened.
That's right.
And they're still running their mouths about it. Now, what about these poor people over there that are being run out of their homes, that are being victimized? What about them? Not a word. In heaven, that'll be done away with. In the millennial reign, that'll be done away with. There'll be no more wars. There'll be no more making money off of wars. There'll be no more trying to conquer and take things over. There'll be no more people taking advantage of innocent people. That will be done. I don't know what we would do if we didn't have politics to grumble about, but I'm sure we'll figure it out. I'm sure we'll figure it out. I don't know what we'll talk about if we don't have gas prices to whine about, but I'm sure we'll figure it out. Oh, I'm looking forward to figuring it out. I am. Some of us, we even get together, we start fussing over the medications we're taking and the ailments that we have. Well, how are you? Well, I've got this going, I've got that going, this is happening and that's happening. Oh, my. Well, I've got this, 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 and that. Oh, boy. Somebody else comes up, were we talking about this? Because I've got that, too, and this is what I take. Well, my doctor had me on that, swapped me over to that. Isn't it going to be awesome when we don't have to talk about those things anymore? Right? How about the weather? Right? Oh, the weatherman got it wrong again. The weather this, the weather that. Woke up my kids last night. I woke up this morning and imagine my dismay that the storm woke up almost everybody in our house. Except for me. I was out. Tia woke up. She goes, it was a really rough night last night. I go, oh no, I'm so sorry. Like I wasn't sitting there. Like I wasn't a whole person in charge of things that could have gotten up and done something. I was out. Man, oh, the weather this, the weather that. We'll wake up every morning. Hey, what's the weather like? Perfect. Amen. All right. I kind of want to be a weatherman in heaven. What's it going to be like? Well, we got some perfection over here today. Perfection for the rest of the week. No sunsets, no sunrises, because it's always going. No sleep here. All right. Temperature's going to be amazing Monday through Friday with a little bit of perfection coming in on the weekend as well. It's going to be great. There'll be no worries. There'll be no, oh, my garden. There'll be, oh, no, my grass right now. It's, oh, no, my driveway. Like, we'll not have those worries. We'll be in the presence of the Lord, and everything will be amazing, and everything will be wonderful, and the nations will obey him. Amen. I can think of a few worldwide leaders right now I'd like to bring to Christ. Talk about having a come-to-Jesus meeting. You're going to sit in the throne room of God. I'd like to have a few of them there right now. Say, listen, you come here. You come here, you talk to him. Because you're messing up. You're having some issues. Right? Every now and then a mom will do that to the dad, and dad might do that to the mom. Come here, son. All right, now you talk. You set him straight, all right? I'm going to be over here trying to catch my breath. Just kind of want to do that to some of the people we see out there. but the nations will obey. And when all the nations are being commanded by the Lord, then we will have peace. Then we will have peace. Why? Because we've got one government. It's not the one government they want to have now with the one money and the 12 to 24 people with all the power. No, no, no. There'll be one man on the throne. It'll be God. And he will be fair. He will be loving. And he's the one that causes the things to grow. The people we have right now try to fix the economy by making the economy worse. But when we're a part of God's economy, when we're under God's care, then there will be peace. There'll be no more fighting over petty things. There'll be no fighting over oil, no more fighting over cattle and land and ground, and no more fighting over federation of things. No. It'll all be in the hand of God. And look at what we see happens under this peace. Verse 4, but they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree. You know why that's so important? And the phrase fig tree is often used with this connotation to it. A fig tree takes 8 to 10 years to provide. And when it says his own, right? I've got trees in my yard. I did not plant them. They came with the house. But if I were to go out and I were to plant a tree, that would be my tree. And I would say, oh, Xander, Caspian, Gideon, and I, we went out. You should have seen them. I got all these pictures of them digging a tree. I'm not planting a tree, by the way. That'd be ridiculous. But we planted the tree. We dug down deep. And I got pictures of Gideon half in the hole. And we put the tree in there. And we covered it up. And one day, if the Lord tarries his coming, they'll come with their kids, my grandkids. I'll say, oh, come here, look. Look, your daddy helped me plant that tree. Here's a picture of him half in the hole. Isn't that great? That's my tree. And you have to understand, in much of the speaking, especially in prophecy, to the Israelites, being able to sit under a tree you planted was an amazing thing. Because being in the same spot for 10 years was a questionable thing. Oftentimes they would get in trouble with real estate and they would have to buy or rent, they would have to sell or rent their land. There would be times where land would change hands one to the other. There'd be the years of Jubilee where things would go back to the original owner. Their debts would be canceled. There was a lot of things going on. And of course, never mind the fact that they were always being raided, always being taken away, always under God's chastising hands in that way. There was captivity all over the place. Things happen. So for them to be able to sit for 8 to 10 years and have figs out of a tree to sit under their own fig tree, that's beautiful. Many of you, you've got the gardens, you've got the things that you're growing, and you're able to look at the fruit of your labor and you say, yes, this is wonderful, and you're able to pick all the things. Your brother Charlie brought me over some cucumbers yesterday. And, oh man, we get that. It's good to sit under those things. And in heaven we will sit under the reward that God has granted us for our labors. And it will be wonderful. And I tell you what, folks, it gives me hope today. Because we don't always have peace today, do we? There'll be moments I'll be walking around. I'll feel like I've got all of chaos happening around me. And there's no peace. There's no sitting down. There's no resting. There's no calming myself. It's just work, 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 work. Settling it out, fixing it, straightening it out. We got home, but we woke up on Friday and there was a lot of stuff to do. And you ever have just so much stuff to do that you sit down for a second just to plot the course? And you're like, all right, we got to do this, and then we got to do that, we got to do this, we got to do that. And after a while, you kind of start to get overwhelmed with things. Now we know the answer to that, right? You make your list, you start checking stuff off, and by the end of the day, you'll be a whole lot better, won't you? But a lot of days, it's the chaos. You got to put the chaos on the page. Oh, but up in heaven, there'll be peace. Again, without grocery store runs, without all the fever pitch that we work ourselves into, all of God's power will come to peace. And with that peace comes a little thing called permanence. Now, of course, this is talking about the millennial reign. 1,000 years is a long time. For all the joking we do about age, ain't none of us there yet, are we? Some mornings you may feel that way, but you're not. But we'll have permanence. we'll know that the things that God establishes cannot be taken away. I rejoice to find that Roe versus Wade was done away with, but it saddens me in my heart to know that that will only last for so long. In heaven, there will be a thing called permanence. Amen. What God sets down cannot be undone. We even see that in our own lives. We may have conviction on Monday, but come Friday, we've lost all that conviction and we're back to the way that we were. In the presence of God, there will be no such thing. I'm looking forward to permanence. I'm looking forward to things we can trust. You know, here on earth, we don't have a lot of promises. When we bought that house down in Southgate, we waited as long as we could, knowing that eventually if I bought a house, I'd just have to sell it. And guess what? We bought it, we stayed in it for 3 or 4 years, and what did we do? We sold it. And I don't know. I don't know what the Lord's will is for my life. Right? If I had my druthers, I'd sit right there where I am right now. But we don't know what the Lord's going to do in the future. So we trust in Him. Oh, but I'm looking forward to the day where we move for the last time. Right, sisters? Right, Sister Titus? We're just waiting. Waiting. Waiting for permanence. But while we wait, we should not lose hope now. Just because we do not possess those things today does not mean we don't possess those things in a certain format. And it does not mean that we can work hard and press on with the things that are going on, knowing that it's coming. You think about all those stories of the people that would work hard in the town, right? That small town living, you'd work hard and you'd try to catch up so on Friday you could go to the city fair or the county fair, right? The farmers would do extra work every day just to get that time off, and everybody would close up their shops. They'd work all hard all week, close up the shops, and they would go and they would celebrate. Our lives as Christians can be just like that, where we work hard and we are in anticipation for the day when the Lord runs it all. Though these words were for the nation of Israel, speaking of real life war, it is proven time and time again that God loves His children of the church age as much as He loves those of the Old Testament. God will not abandon His labors, and these words are this. Verse 5, for all people will walk, every one, in the name of his God, and we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. In that day, saith the Lord, will I assemble her that halteth, and I will gather her that is driven out, and her that I have afflicted. And I will make her that halteth a remnant, and her that was cast far off a strong nation. And the nation shall reign over them in Mount Zion from henceforth even forever. And thou, O tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, unto thee shall it come, even the first dominion, the kingdom shall come to the daughter of Jerusalem. Now we got to understand that we as Gentiles, that doesn't mean much to us. But what God's working out here is, listen, I'm going to take this remnant. I am going to bring them in. I'm going to establish my people once again. And what we as Gentiles, though we are not the Jews ourselves, what we as Gentiles can take thought in is this, is that God's promises are sure. He promised them from the beginning. And He's going to carry out that promise in the millennial reign. And if His promises are good for them, aren't you so glad that they're good for us? Aren't you so glad? God is above all. He can keep promises that most of us can't even make. We serve a great God, a wonderful God. And despite the rejection of Him, and despite their trials and tribulations, despite how susceptible to temptation they were as a nation, God still loves them. Verse 9, and why dost thou cry out aloud? Is there no king in thee? Is thy counselor perished? For pangs have taken thee as a woman in travail. Be in pain and labor to bring forth, O daughter of Zion, like a woman in travail. For now shalt thou go forth out of the city, and thou shalt dwell in the field, and thou shalt go even to Babylon. There shalt thou be delivered. There the Lord shall redeem thee from the hand of thine enemies. You know, today we still have our struggles. Today we still have our fights. But this little command here, though not written for us, is still a very good precedent. And the questions that go as follows. And forgive me, give me a second to find where I am here. Now, why dost thou cry out loud? Oh, You don't understand how bad it's gotten in our country. You don't understand how bad it's gotten among our churches. Oh, you don't get how difficult it is to live as a Christian in this world nowadays. Why dost thou cry out aloud? Is there no king in thee? Hey, can I ask you a question? We look at this world and we think, oh, it's hopeless. Oh, it's over. Is there not a king that sits on the throne of this world? And is this king man? Or is he God? Is it Putin? Is it Biden? Is it some foreign dignitary? Is it a queen? Who is it that we're so afraid of could unseat our God from the throne? There's not a bad thing that happens that God cannot control and not use for one thing or the other. I had to comfort myself with that as we were driving home late Thursday night. It got to be about, midnight. And I really got to kicking myself. I'm like, man, these poor kids driving late like this. What's wrong with me? And you know what? We said it at camp, and I thought about this. I'm like, you know what? Whatever the Lord's reasoning was for that to happen, I may never know. But I do know that he had a reason for it. Maybe it's to teach me a little humility. Maybe it's to help me deal with my patience so I don't always sit there, oh, no, it all fell apart. Nobody's going to like it. No one's coming back. Maybe the Lord was dealing with me. Maybe he was protecting us from something. Maybe he was preserving us from something. I was talking to a man there at camp. It was one of my good friends. And we were talking over a problem that had happened with one of the campers. And we're sitting there and we got tired. We were talking. And we had to think. So we moved over a little bit. And we sat down on these chairs, these rocking chairs that are on the porch of the dining room area. We're sitting and we're talking for a while trying to work out what to do. And out of nowhere, right where we stand, right where we were standing, comes this skunk. And this skunk was probably about the size of Gideon. It was huge. Right? It came by, we could almost hear it breathing. Like it was a hefty thing. And I'm sitting there going, oh, if we were still standing there, what would we have done? What would have happened? And of course, that probably would have led to an even funnier story y'all would have enjoyed, provided I stayed home from church this morning. But why does God allow this stuff? You know what? He's got a reason behind it. He's got a purpose behind it. It's doing something. Why do we got the government we got? Why do we got this? Why do we got that? Number one, the world's run by sinners. This is a sinful place. It's a cursed earth. We're going to have people like that. Why is there all this heartache and violence and danger? Why is this happening? It's a cursed earth. It's going to happen. But why's it going to happen to me? God's got his reasons. God's doing something. And yeah, it may hurt. It may be uncomfortable. But there's purpose to it. God is not cruel. He's not mean. He's not trying to run you down. He's not trying to make you miserable. He just knows that sometimes through misery comes the greatest growth. And sometimes we get miserable over things that were never even about us to begin with. His will was to be worked out in another life and in another way. But I tell you what, we have a king who controls all things. We do. Now, I hate to pick on it, but don't you hate it when the mistake that your country's leader makes the front page? I remember George Bush Jr. and some of the things that he would say. Right, and every now and then that would get out there, and people would laugh at our president. I felt like they was laughing at our country. I was upset by that. And I remember that we used to have this vice president that would say the dumbest things. Right? Do you remember him? Asked a double amputee in a wheelchair to stand up so we could all recognize him. Right? Of course, we then turned around and made him our president. He's still making us proud in that way, isn't he? Now these people. They're not the rulers of this land. Not in the truest sense of the phrase. They're inefficient. They're not worthy of what God can do. We have a king. And we look to him. And we trust in him. Next part of this admonition here is thy counselor perished. Hey, here's a question. Have you lost Christ somehow? Is your salvation no longer potent? Is it no longer possible? Well, it used to be we'd come to church and you'd see four or five saved here or there. I tell you what, Lord was just plucking the elect all over the place and there was great revivals and there's no revivals. Do you think God has lost his power? Do you think that's what's going on? Do you think that maybe God's just close to retirement, so he's slowing down as sometimes that happens? Where he stopped building and now he's preparing to just shut it down. Or do you think perhaps there's a problem with our faithfulness? Maybe we don't see the revivals that we would want to see here on this earth. Maybe we see issues within our church, not because God is not working with us anymore, not because God has lost his power, but because we've stopped obeying him. Because our Bible reading is slipping. Because our prayer life is slipping. Because we can hear the same sermon 38 times and not make a single change. Maybe it's us. Folks, our counselor is alive and well. The Holy Spirit walks among us. We have our Lord Jesus Christ. The Word of God is still sitting in our laps, isn't it? Can you still read it? It's still there. We have not lost our counselor. The problem is us. We act as though we have no king. We act as though we're on this runaway freight train and though God cannot pull a brake when he needs to. We have a king. We have a counselor. Verse 10, this is again the advice to the nation of Israel, but be in pain and labor to bring forth, O daughter of Zion, like a woman in travail, for now shalt thou go forth out of the city, and thou shalt dwell in the field, and thou shalt go even to Babylon. There shalt thou be delivered. There the Lord shall redeem thee from the hand of thine enemies. We got to walk the world for a while. Not be of the world, but we got to be out there and we got to be working. We've got to do what we're supposed to be doing. Number one, clean up your yard. Number two, serve the Lord. When was the last time any of us invited someone to church? For many of us, you do it every day. But for those of you that find yourself not doing that, when was the last time we invited someone to church? When was the last time, more importantly, we gave the gospel? Huh? That would be something we're doing on a regular basis. We must work. And yes, there is the outward work, but we also must be doing the inward work. We must be educating people in the Word of God. We must be educating ourselves. We must be teaching the younger generation and having things there to train and educate them in these things. And we've got to have things to encourage each other and to build each other up in God-honoring ways. And I tell you what, we've got a lot of those things here, don't we? But it's perfectly possible to come to a ladies' fellowship. It's possible to come to a Friday fellowship in the morning that we have and still walk away with nothing. Why? Because you zone out during the spiritual stuff. I pray that we would all be about the labor. They would all be bringing forth something, creating something. It took me to about lunchtime on Friday to realize I need another project now. I need something to work on. I sat there and I started penciling stuff, as you do. All right, Bible Conference 2023. Who do I want to see come preach? Let's start making a list of the preachers that went last year. Let's make a list of the preachers, the short list of preachers that didn't get invited that I want to see this year. Just thinking about that stuff. We as a church, please listen, we as a church must always be doing something. Not for the sake of activity, but for the sake of growth. There must always be teaching. There must always be preaching. There must always be singing. There must always be work to do. Now again, not all of us are equipped for all of the work. There are some things that you're good at that I'm not. Some things that I'm good at that you might not be. And you know what we do? We teach each other. We build each other up in the admonition of the Lord. We do. There's a great day coming. And I'll tell you this. What kind of rest do you want? Me, I like a rest that comes after a good, long, hard work, don't you? I like that shower after a really good, long, hard work day. Right? I think the last time I had that was we just got done packing and moving and we were about to go to bed, and as I was walking down into my bed, I saw that shower. Ooh, that was one of the best showers I've ever had. Why? It was hard work.
You know what that night was? One of the best sleeps I've ever had. Why? Because I was tired. I'm looking forward to the millennial reign, but man, I want to go in tired, don't you? Before I rest under that vine and fig tree that are mine, I want to get sweaty. I want to be tired. I want to be flustered a little bit. I want to be at the end of my ability when I get there. But we can't get there if we're lackadaisical now. We must work. Like Jesus as a child, we must be about the Father's business. There's nothing for it than that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, it is a blessing to be in your house.